الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Today inshallah we will go over the chapter of unlawful things during Ihram and the chapter of expiation, which is fidya. Mahdhurat al-Ihram, the unlawful things to do during the Ihram. As we said, Ihram is to make unlawful to you things that were lawful before you became into he came into the state of Ihram. So it is a devotional state. Ihram is a devotional state in which you make impermissible to yourself that which was permissible to you before. And when you say ahrama, so ihram is a noun, and when you say ahram, the root word ahram or the root verb ahram means entered into a sanctuary, entered into a sanctuary. And by entering into the sanctuary of the holy places, you are also prohibiting yourself from things that used to be permissible to you prior to entering into the state of ihram. So what are the things that will not be permissible for you when you are in a state of ihram? And as I said, ihram is not just the clothes that you wear, it is the state. Ihram is the niyyah of hajj and umrah. It is the intention of hajj and umrah. That intention will result into entering a state, a devotional state of abstinence from certain things that used to be permissible to you prior entering this state. These are nine things. The first and the second will be the cutting of the hair or the shaving of the hair and the clipping of the nails. And if you and some of these details are from the jurists. Some are from the jurists. And some are by consensus, some have clear proof from the Quran and Sunnah. What has clear proof from the Quran, clear cut proof from the Quran, is that shaving is forbidden. Is that shaving is وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهُ. And do not shave your heads until your offerings have been, or your offered animals, or your sacrificial animals have been offered. Do not shave your heads until your sacrificial animals have been offered. So that is clear cut. And it is clear cut also, the expiation for this is clear cut because that is in the Quran. وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ أَذًى مِنْ رَأْسِهِ فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ. So whoever of you is sick or he has harm in his أَذًى مِنْ whoever has like an affliction or a sickness or a disease in his head and must shave, like if you have any condition in your head, and lice for instance, and you need to shave, then he can shave, and the expiation shall be fidya min siyam wa sadaqah wa nusuk, fasting, or sadaqah, which is charity, or nusuk, which is slaughtering, offering. And this will be explained or elucidated by the Prophet ﷺ in the Sunnah. So this issue of shaving is by clear cut. This is in the Quran. The clipping of the nails, the scholars said that Abdullah ibn Abbas interpreted a tafath in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم, after the exit from the state of Ihram, let them remove their unkemptness. Remove their unkemptness means their, you know, Abdullah ibn Abbas interpreted this tafath, which is unkemptness, to mean the long hair and the long nails. It is time after you exit from the state of Ihram that you shave your hair or trim it and you clip your nails. Therefore, clipping the nails was considered by the vast majority of the scholars, except, as you may be expected, the Zahiris, may Allah bestow mercy on them, they did not consider this to be of the unlawful things to do in Ihram because it's not clearly stated in the Quran or the Sunnah, and it is proven, according to them, by Qiyas. But it is not only proven by Qiyas. Abdullah ibn Abbas said the unkemptness, the tafath, is the long hair and the long nails. Then a sacrifice of an animal is due upon him, the one who cuts his hair or shortens his hair or clips his nails during the haram, a sacrifice of an animal. And the animal, the least would be a 6 months old sheep or a 1 year old goat or, you know, musinna. And the six jaza'a min al-da'na aw musinna min ghayriha. So like a 6 months old sheep and 1 year old goat. Certainly 1/7 of a cow or 1/7 of a camel would suffice, because 1/7 of a camel or a cow is equal to a sheep or a goat. Then a sacrifice of an animal is due upon him, and if less, then for each one a mud. Now this is when it comes to the scholar's discretion, juristic discretion. Because this is not stated clearly in the Quran or Sunnah that you will have to give in charity a mud, which is 2 hands full of food, if you cut or pluck 1 hair. And for two muds. Mud is this. The 2 hands full, 2 average hands full. Of food, you know, that could be any type of food that is utilized for quut, for sustenance by the people. And certainly if the hair grew into one's eye and or the you know covered his eye and he needed to pluck that hair, then it would be allowable to do that. And nothing will be required of him. So the 1 hair and the 2 hairs here is a juristic preference, because that's not stated in the Quran. But they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the plural in the Quran, and 1 hair is not hair. It is not. It's 1 hair, and it needs to be 3 to be plural. To be, you know, cutting your hair, at least 3. But if it is less than this, it's just a hair or 2 hairs. That's not a word, but, you know, 2. And for this reason, they prefer that position, that you'll give in charity 1 mud, because the minor infractions would account for 1 mud of compensation. Now the third thing, so the first and second is you don't cut your hair and you don't clip your nails. The third would be not to wear fitted sewn clothes, except if he does not find the lower garment. In this case, he may wear trousers, and if he does not find sandals, he may wear leather socks, and there shall be no expiation due on him. Now for 1 and 2, men and women are the same. For this one, men and women are different. Because women will wear sewn, fitted, like form-fitting or body-fitting clothes. Now, if it is body-fitting but you're not wearing it, you're putting it on your shoulders, it does not. It's preferable not to do that. But for the vast majority of the scholars, that would not be an infraction. So if you have a abaya, for instance, and that is something like this, for instance. But I'm not wearing like this. I'm just putting it on my shoulders for the cold. Then it would not be a violation of the ihram. It would be not a violation of ihram. So to wear it, and it has to be like fitted sewn clothes. It's not that it has stitches, because a makhit in Arabic could mean that has stitches or sewn. But it here means form-fitting. So you need to wear 2 garments that are not form-fitting or not sewn for you. Okay. Now, as for what you wear in your feet, you would wear sandals. If you don't find sandals and you find hoof, which is the leather socks, it's like boot or leather sock. Then you cut them below your ankles and you wear them. The fourth is to cover your head, and your ears are part of your head. So you should not be covering your head. But that does not apply, because the Prophet ﷺ said, when someone asked the Prophet ﷺ, what should a muhrim wear? The Prophet said, the muhrim should not wear this and this and that. And this is called the wise answer, because you don't always have to follow the same style of the question. You know, so the question is asking an affirmation, you can reply in negation, or vice versa, depending on the correctness, depending on the suitability of the answer. So he wants the Prophet to tell him, what should the muhrim wear? The Prophet wanted to leave it open. But he wanted to tell the people what the muhrim should not wear. And he said to him, لا يلبس المحرم القميص ولا العمامة ولا السراويل ولا البرنس ولا ثوب مسه ورس أو زعفران ولا يلبس الخفين ولا يلبس الخفين إلا ألا يجد النعلين. So he said to him, the muhrim should not wear قميص, shirt, trousers, sarawil, imam, turban. So the scholars then say that you should not cover your head with something that is touching your head, mulasiq. You don't cover your head by mulasiq, something that is touching your head. However, you can cover your head with the roof of a building, for instance. That's fine. Or the tent. Now, it gets a little bit trickier when someone carries an umbrella, because, you know, and it gets even trickier and trickier if they wear something that covers their head without actually being touching. So, and in these cases, I think I would try to be on the safe side. But still, it's not touching the head. You see, usually when you see people that do not have roofs for their buses, they're Shia, because according to them, you can't cover with anything, whether it's touching or not touching. But that would be very difficult, because you stay in tents and so on. You do not need to stay in the sun, particularly if it is sunny. You do not need to stay in the sun. By the way, there was a position in the Madhab of Imam Ahmad that was like this, but it's an abandoned position. Within the Madhab, there was a position like this, but it was abandoned. Now, number five is applying perfume to your body. Applying perfume to your body. And that is by the clear statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And number six is to kill the game animals. These are the wild and permissible to hunt, but it is not forbidden to kill domestic animals for food, and water game is permissible as well. So the game animals, those are the wild animals. Like hunting deer, for instance, would not be permissible, but slaughtering a cow would be permissible. Hunting deer would not be permissible. Slaughtering a cow would be permissible. And certainly fishing would be permissible. Water creatures. Allah said, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِلسَّيَارَةِ وَحُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَرِّ مَا دُمْتُمْ حُرُمًا. Lawful to you is the pursuit of water game and its use for food, for the benefit of yourselves and those who travel. But forbidden is the pursuit of land game as long as you are in a state of ihram. And that is to stress and emphasize the sacredness of the holy places. And you know, so you don't kill anything, you don't kill a bird, you don't kill. That's why, you know, these places are holy and sacred to the point where even the animals that enter these places will be given sanctuary. Yet, if someone killed or if someone hunted for you without you telling them to hunt, or actually, someone hunted for himself and invited you to eat without you pointing out to him the herd or helping him in any way to hunt, then it would be allowable for you to eat because you did not take part in the hunting. Seventh would be marriage is forbidden, but there is no expiation if someone conducted the contract of marriage during ihram. It is forbidden, but there is no expiation. The eighth prohibition would be lustful touching of parts other than the genitalia. And if he ejaculated as a result of that, the offering of a camel is due on him. Otherwise, if he did not ejaculate, a sheep is due, and his hajj is valid. Those dashes are to separate so that the consensus that is reported by this symbol here pertains only to the last statement that's after the dashes. So in general, people should not be, they should get their minds off of all of this, and they should concentrate on the rituals of Hajj. And those who will be involved in this, it depends. If someone just thinks or sees something and because of that he ejaculates, then that is forgiven. That is forgiven. But if someone does the, or, you know, embarks on the introductory steps, like touching and so on, and in this case, if he had discharge, which is different from ejaculation of semen, discharge, then his expiation will be a goat or a sheep. And if it was semen, that means he reached the climax, that means he was very involved, then the expiation will be a camel. And if actually they had intercourse, then both the man and the woman, they have to proceed with their hajj. It is revoked. It is not valid. It is invalid. It's been invalidated. That happened before the first tahallul, before the first exiting from ihram, or the minor exiting from ihram. Their hajj will be invalidated. They'll have to proceed with the rituals of hajj, but it is invalidated, and they need to make hajj the next year, and they need to expiate by offering a camel. And always, the stronger punishment is there because of the greater temptation. And it suits that particular violation because of the greater temptation in that particular aspect or area. In order for you to be kept away from it, the punishment has to be stronger. That was the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar, and none of the Sahaba is known to have countered their fatwa, therefore it becomes a matter of consensus. Number nine, which is intercourse, that if it was before the first tahallul or the minor exiting from the state of ihram, his hajj is invalid and must complete it and perform hajj the following year, and the offering of a camel is due on the one who had intercourse, also if it was after the first tahallul or minor exiting from the state of ihram, the sheep is due and he must enter ihram from at-tanaim so that he will be in a state of ihram when he performs tawaf. If he does this in umrah, if he had intercourse during the umrah, it will be nullified, invalidated, spoil his whole umrah. The ruling for the woman is like that of the man, except that her ihram pertains only to her face, and she may wear sewn clothes. So with regard to all of the mahzurat al-ihram, or the prohibitions of ihram, the woman is like the man, with two exceptions. That she will wear sewn clothes except on her face. She will not wear the niqab. She can, if she desires, make Estelle or bring the top of the scarf over her face, as the mothers of the believers did, but she does not have, or she should not wear niqab, which is that piece of cloth that is sewn for the face. And she would wear regular clothes, and otherwise, she's, in terms of the mahdurat al-ihram, she is like the man, the prohibited acts during ihram. The expiation has two types. Actually, you know, this is a little complex, so it will require a lot of reading, because no matter how much I try to explain it now, it will require a lot of memorization and reading. So let me tell you this. Sometimes you do something wrong and you need to expiate, and sometimes Allah bestows a favor on you, so you need to show gratefulness. So when you do hadi, it is usually used in that, in the context of gratefulness, hadi, which means a gift to the people of the Kaaba, of al-Haram. Bear in mind, Allah says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُمُهَا لَدِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالَهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It will not, the flesh of them, nor the flesh of those animals, or neither the flesh of those animals, nor their blood will reach Allah, but what will reach Him is the piety of your heart. But these are offered for the poor around al-Haram, because that's Allah's sanctuary. So the hadi is like a gift. And if you have, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to make Umrah and Hajj in the same year and enjoy being in your regular clothes between them, that is called tamattu, enjoyment. Enjoyment of tahallul between Umrah and Hajj. That's one type of Hajj. When you make your Umrah first and then you take off your ihram, you put on your regular clothes and you can do everything you did before, that was permissible to you before. And then before Hajj, you put on your ihram again, and you perform your Hajj. And if you do this, or you do Quran when you do Umrah and Hajj simultaneously, then you have hadi to give, to offer. But if you commit a prohibition, or if you miss a wajib, a mandatory action, then you have fidya. It's called fidya, expiation. Okay, with regard to the fidya, expiation for committing a prohibited act, fidya for committing a prohibited act. Now, Ka'b ibn Ujra, a Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, came to the Prophet ﷺ and lice were jumping off of his face, because he had long hair and it was beyond him to take care of it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I did not think that you would reach this state. And he told them to shave and to expiate. And the expiation here, the Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ تَجِدْ شَاءٍ. In some hadith, he said, أَطْعِمْ. He said, صُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامَ وَأَطْعِمْ سِتَّةَ مَسَاكِينَ أَوُنْسُكْ نَسِيكَةً. Which means feed 6 people, or fast 3 days, or offer an animal, sacrificial animal. And these are the 3 things that are considered to be expiation: for shaving, for clipping, shaving of the head, the clipping of the fingernails, wearing perfume, or putting on clothes that you should not be wearing. And it's up to you. You choose. You choose. Because the Prophet said, or. And in the Quran it says, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ أَذًى مِنْ رَأْسِهِ فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ. Or. Siyam, fasting, أَوْ. Or صَدَقَة, charity, أَوْ نُسُك. Or نُسُك, which is offering a sacrificial animal. The expiation for killing game animals is a domestic one that is equal to the wild that he killed. A domestic one. So if someone killed a hyena, then they will, the one that is equal to it is a sheep. And there are some things that the Sahaba have determined for us. We must follow their determination, and some things that they left undetermined. And these we will evaluate the price of the animal, and we'll ask the person to buy food and give it in charity equal to the price of the animal. Now the pigeons, one pigeon equals a sheep. That is the, but you may say that they are not really that equal, but it is a form, I think, of protectionism of the pigeon. The camel will be due on killing an ostrich, because that's, again, an expensive animal. Now, if you don't have an equal, even if you have an equal, you're given the choice of, you know, slaughtering an equal animal, or taking the value of this animal and buying food with it and distributing the food between the people. You would slaughter and distribute it between the people. It was the, whichever way, it would get to the poor. But it's either meat or food, other types of food. You value the animal that is equal. You take that money, you buy dates. And you get the, you give the dates one mud, two hands full, to every poor person. Or half a saw, which is two muds, to every poor person. Or you fast. And the fasting here would be, how do you calculate the fasting here? Every half a saw, which every two muds. Every two muds is what? Half a saw. Half a saw is what? 1 kilogram. About 1 kilogram, 1 liter, close to one, you know, so you want to be a little bit more careful, 1.2 kilograms of food. And for every 1.2, like if the animal that you killed is worth 200 riyals, okay, now you have to 200 riyals. You take those 200 riyals and you go buy dates. Well, how you bought 20 kilograms of dates. We said 1.2. I'm making it difficult for myself. Let's say you bought 12 kilograms of dates. Then you will give 10 poor people. Each will have 1.2 kilograms, which is half a saw. You don't have the money. How do you calculate your fasting? For every poor person that he did not feed, he fasted one day. And that would be it. Now, the other type of expiation here or offering is when the sequence must be followed. And that is for the person who is performing tamattu, he must sacrifice a sheep or a goat. And if he did not find, then he must fast 3 days in Hajj and 7 when he returns to his homeland. Okay, so tamattu is when you enjoy the exiting from ihram between your umrah and hajj. You made your umrah, you took your ihram off, you put your regular clothes on, you can wear perfume, you can do whatever you want until the time of hajj comes. In gratefulness that Allah allowed you to get out of the state of ihram, you slaughter a sheep. Now, you could not slaughter a sheep. Then you fast 10 days. Three of them, فَمَا لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامَ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشْرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلُهُ حَاضِرِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does not find the sheep to slaughter, whether you have the money but you couldn't find the sheep, or you don't have the money to buy the sheep. The bottom line, no sheep to slaughter, to offer. Then you fast 3 days in Hajj. How do you fast 3 days in Hajj? What's Hajj? The time of Hajj. the time of Hajj. It is preferable to fast them before Arafah. That many of the Sahaba used to prefer to fast them before Arafah. So you make ihram with your Hajj on the 6th, and you fast on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. So before Arafah, you would have done, you're done with the 3 days that you need to fast. But you can still fast them on the day of Arafah even, and Ayyam al-Tashriq, the days of Tashriq. The second type is when the sequence must be followed, and that is for, and we did cover this, right? Then in this case, you do not select fasting. It's not up to you. It's not optional whether you fast or slaughter. You offer the sacrificial animal. If you could not offer it, then you fast 3 days in Hajj and 7 when you go back home. And you can read the says here, and whosoever performs Umrah in the months of Hajj, before performing Hajj, he must slaughter a Hajj such as he can afford. But if he cannot afford it, he should observe Sawm or fasting 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days after his return home. And for the one who had intercourse, he must sacrifice a camel, and if he could not afford it, he must fast like the one making tamattu, so 3 and 7. The ruling is the same for the sacrifice of fawat, which is missing the Hajj. You've arrived a day late. You did not catch Arafah. If you catch Arafah any time during the day or night, on the 9th and the night of the 10th, any time you catch Arafah, then you caught Al-Hajj. But if you did not catch Arafah, then you missed Al-Hajj. In this case, you will slaughter a sheep, and if you couldn't, then it's like a tamattu. You fast 3 and 7. And for the person who is prevented from proceeding, that's called muhsar. Like you arrived, but the authorities did not allow you in. There were like highwaymen that prevented you from reaching. Or your visa turned out to be a bad visa. Some reason, you were prevented from proceeding with the rituals of Hajj. In this case, you will sacrifice, and if you couldn't, you will fast 10 days. And those 10 days, you fast them. And those are not 10 days in Hajj now, because you're not in Hajj. If you do two infractions back to back before you expiate, you do the second before you expiate for the first, one expiation would be enough if they are similar. Like you clip your name, and then you clip your name. Or you clip your nails, and then you clip your nails. Two infractions, back to back, before expiation. But if you clip your nails and wear perfume, that's two dissimilar infractions, each one would require an expiation. If you do something that is prohibited, yeah, do the similar things that are prohibited, then each one will have a separate expiation. Shaving, clipping the nails, having intercourse, and killing game animals are equal whether they are done intentionally or absent-mindedly. As for the rest of the prohibited ones, forgetfulness, there's nothing due on the person in the case of forgetfulness. That is a position, and there is another position that forgetfulness is forgetfulness. You're exempt if you forget. The vast, vast majority of people say except in intercourse, because it was not conceivable to them that someone would actually forget all the way until, you know, that happens. Every sacrifice or feeding must be for the poorer individuals of the haram, except for the expiation for adha, shaving or clipping of nails, or for adha, I'm sorry, adha. Adha means harm. So the harm that resulted in you having to shave or clip your nails. He must pass it out in the place where he shaved. And the sacrifice of the muhsar, one prevented from proceeding, must be slaughtered in the place where he is withheld. As for fasting, it will be sufficient in any place. So if you leave if you leave a wajib, if you miss a wajib, a mandatory action of Hajj, then you will have to do the sacrifice. If you commit a prohibited act, you'll have to do the sacrifice. And if you kill the animal, you'll have to do the sacrifice. Killing the animal and committing a prohibited act, the sacrifice must be given, the animal must be given to the poor individuals within the sanctuary, al-haram, or the sacred precinct. For other hadi or for other offerings, it may be given outside of this, and also for the hadi of tamattu, for the sacred precinct. But for other infractions, wait a second. Let me go back on this. The exceptions from giving it in the sacred precinct will be if you commit a prohibited act, like clipping your nails and cutting your hair, then the hadi will be done, or the slaughtering and the distribution of meat will be done at the place where you did this. Because when Ka'b ibn Ujrah came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him about showed him his hair, he told them to slaughter and to distribute the meat, but he did not tell him inside the sacred precinct. He asked him in Al-Hudaybiyah, outside of the sacred precinct. So he did not tell him, take the meat inside the sacred precinct. And also, the other exception is for the one withheld, prevented from entering the sacred precinct, he will offer a sacrificial animal. And certainly in his case, where he will offer it where he is at, where he was withheld or prevented from proceeding. That is somewhat technical, but some things have to be technical.